Proverbs chapter 18.
An unfriendly person pursues selfish ends, and against all sound judgment starts quarrels. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes reproach. The words of the mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a rushing stream. It is not good to be partial to the wicked, and so deprive the innocent of justice. The lips of fools bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. The mouths of fools are of their undoing, and their lips are a snare to the very lives. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down in the innermost parts. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honour. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. The human spirit can endure in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear? The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. A gift opens the way, and ushers the giver into the presence of the great. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right, until someone comes forward and cross-examines. Casting the lot settles disputes, and keeping strong opponents apart. A brother wronged is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favour from the Lord. The poor plead for mercy, but the rich answer harshly. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Maybe want to focus on one thing this morning, but we'll mention a couple of other things briefly, and that is a safe place. And to ask the question this morning and to look at where is your safe place? Where is my safe place? But before we come to that, just a reminder of a Proverbs chapter 17, which looked at the qualities and characteristics of good friendship. Proverbs 18 kind of starts off really with listing what poor friendship looks like. And poor friendship is people who kind of only call you when they want something. And I guess over the years, we can probably cast our minds back to people that maybe only phone us when they actually need something. And when they don't need something, we never actually hear from them. In poor friendship, the conversation is never equal. You've got one person that just kind of dominates the conversation because it's all about them and not about you, not about us. Sadly, poor friends, they'll talk about their other friends behind their backs. And Proverbs has a lot to say about gossip. And gossip is a sign, really, it's a hallmark of poor friendship. And another sign of poor friendship is that people aren't happy for you when good things happen to you. And the Bible clearly says that we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. And a good friend, when you get good news, will actually celebrate that good news with you. But a poor friend will be slightly envious. And Proverbs 18 starts off by saying, an unfriendly person pursues selfish ends. It's kind of all about them. And against all sound judgment, they'll kind of pick fights, they'll start quarrels. And so Proverbs 17 looks at good friendship, start of Proverbs 18 compares that with poor friendship. And obviously wisdom will give us the right choice, that we make the right friends. But to move on to this main thought this morning is where is your safe place? Out of the difficult times that we are now in, we still need a safe place, but with what's happening and the fear that is around us, we need our safe place. In the Old Testament, when the Israelites eventually went into Canaan, into the Promised Land, there were six cities of refuge that were set up. And in Numbers 35 and verse 14, we read this: "Give three on this side of the Jordan and three in Canaan, a city of refuge. These six towns will be a place of refuge for Israelites and for foreigners residing among them, so that anyone who has killed another accidentally can flee there." So we know the laws, this very, very strict laws of the Old Testament, but when there was a serious accident that took place, there was a place of refuge that they could go to until the case was heard. So it wouldn't literally be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, or a life for a life in this case. They could run, they could flee to these towns, these cities of refuge. And then also King David had a place of refuge. His life was in danger, and so he escaped and went to what's called the cave of Adullam. And that became David's, not only his refuge, but a fortified place, actually. It's quite interesting. It says that when his brothers, that's David's brothers, and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him. And all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. So Adullam's cave became a place of refuge for David, but it also became a place of refuge for everybody else that was in distress that came to David. And out of those people who were distressed, in debt, or discontented, David made an army, and quite a powerful army. And the psalmist tells us in Psalm 46 and verse 10, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And again, Psalm 62 verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. And Proverbs picks it up here. In verse 10, the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. And it's good to start this week off with this particular thought, that Jesus is our safe place. God is our refuge. We can run to God in this situation, but even when we come out of this situation, whatever we face, God is our safe place. Jesus himself also had a safe place. Well, I'm interpreting this verse that way. In Mark 1:35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Place of prayer was Jesus' place of refuge. As you know, Jesus had a lot to face, a lot of opposition, a lot of persecution. And he needed his safe place. And his safe place was going away early in the morning and praying with the Father. Jesus is our safe place. And it's also good to have a physical place that is a safe place. A safe place where we can be with the person who is our refuge and our strength. For some of us, that's a certain walk. For others, it's a room in their home. It can be different places, but each of us need to know where our safe place is, because we feel pressures, we feel stresses, the situations going on all around us, and we need to be able to come to our city of refuge, to our place of safety. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And then just to finish off this morning from Proverbs 18, just a couple of quick reminders. It says in verse 13, not to answer before listening, for that's folly and shame. Do not answer before listening. I'm quite challenged by this, actually, because I'm impatient by nature. And sometimes when people are talking to me, I sometimes finish their sentence for them. And I know that when somebody does that to me, I get a bit frustrated, particularly if you get it wrong. You can, you think you know what they're going to say at the end, and you blurt it out, and they say, "No, I wasn't going to say that." So what that verse is saying, listen, give people time. It comes back to good friendship. The poor friend, it's all about me. It's all about me talking. It's all about me expressing my feelings. But the good friend will listen fully and will resist finishing off somebody else's sentence. And then it says in verse 21, the tongue has the power of life and death. And just that reminder again, as we finish off this morning and as Proverbs 18 comes to an end, with our words, we have the power of life and death. So let's this week, let's speak life. Let's come to our place of refuge, receive our strength and our encouragement. And from that city, from that place, from that name of refuge, let's speak life to all those that we meet.